missions conference. I always love missions conference. That's when God's people do business with the Lord, and that's when churches have their best week, I think, and we get down to brass tacks and talking about things that are so vitally important. I so appreciate your pastor and inviting me to be able to come, and my wife to be able to be here. It's always special to be involved in world evangelism and church planning and anything at all that we might be able to do to encourage other folks about being able to serve the Lord is great. I had the joy of pastoring a church for 35 years. We started in our apartment in 1970. And 6.5 years ago, our son was voted in as the next pastor, and he is now pastoring a church. And I am now free and loose. I have been thoroughly enjoying it as we've had opportunity to be able to go out and visit with a lot of our fellows that have gone out and started churches. And in fact, a week from the night, we're starting another church up in Iowa City, in Iowa, with one of our preachers from our church. But it's always a special joy to be involved in missions and world evangelism and starting churches and just having a part in seeing some lost soul come back to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's a blessing. I'm especially enjoy having my wife with me as well. She's not always able to travel with me, but I'm delighted to be able to have her for this trip as we have several places that we're going in these couple of weeks. But thank the Lord for her as well. We all know that those of us in the ministry, that none of us can do it without a good, godly wife by our side. And it's such a privilege to have a lady that loves the Lord and be able to serve the Lord with you as well. Well, if you open your Bibles, if you would, to a text you probably never heard of in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Your pastor got up and stole the thunder from me. I haven't used my text. I didn't know anybody else had even seen the verse before. But I'm going to share some thoughts about the Lord Jesus Christ. And some things he said here just kind of remind us of a few classic passages of Scripture in Matthew 28, 19 and 20, and Mark 16, 15, Luke 24, John 21, Acts chapter 1. We see these wonderful passages of Scripture that just kind of put us in mind of what we're to be doing and how we're to be doing it as well. And I want to share some things with us just to kind of put us in mind. The good thing is tonight, you're not going to really be able to probably learn anything new that your pastor hasn't already shared with you. And by the way, what a blessing it was. On our trip here, I had the joy of reading the book he just wrote. It was a blessing. If you haven't gotten the book and read it, you ought to read it. I know more about your church than some of y'all know. Because I read the book, so you ought to get it and read it. So it'd be a real blessing to you as well. You find the heartbeat of your pastor as well that way. But in seeing the book of Acts in chapter 1 and the verses that are shared there that we've all seen, quoted, memorized for many of us and looked at, but yet just to kind of put us back in mind of some things as we begin this missions conference. Now I'm asking if you would stand with me, please, and I want to read a few verses. Beginning in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Father in heaven, I pray, Lord, your blessings upon the reading of the Word of God, and now, Lord, the preaching of it, and even perhaps more importantly, the hearing of it. And I just pray, Lord, that you'll speak to our hearts, Lord. I know it's a familiar passage to all of us, but I pray, Lord, you'll just put us in mind of some of these things that you have for us in here, and help us, Lord, I pray, more than ever to have underscored in our heart and soul what world evangelism is all about, how it is that we're to love them like Jesus here at Liberty Baptist Church. And I just pray that you'll give us that love for thee and love for the world evangelism And Lord, help each of us to consider your call upon our lives, that we'll do the right things. Bless us now, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. May be seated. We could ask ourselves rhetorically, though I will answer it, what really is the Great Commission? Someone has said that probably it's really could be considered the Great Omission in many churches. But what is the Great Commission that you have here at Liberty Baptist Church and that we have in our church and Dr. Baldwin has in his church? What is the Great Commission that God is really after? We say, well, we know it's really church planting and starting churches, but what's the big deal? What's the fuss? The thing is that most people have really not properly defined what world evangelism is all about and what the Great Commission is all about. A lot of people have never taken it to heart. And what I have found, and I'm sure the other preachers here tonight as well have found out, that most churches today, most churches in my opinion, and I've been in a lot of churches, but a lot of churches don't have what you're doing here and the thought and emphasis and world evangelism and talking about churches and churches getting started, souls being saved, and churches being planted and interns and training. Well, most churches don't do it quite that well. But a lot of churches today have a missions week and a missions conference so they can do missions. But I remind us that the reason that God even has our churches on planet Earth is to evangelize a lost and dying world, to tell this world about Jesus Christ. And God has set up only one way to get that done. It is honestly, there are a lot of things we can do to help along the way, but there's one single thing that God has set up to be able to carry out the Great Commission. And it's not individuals. It's not even camps. It's not schools. It's not colleges. It's not orphanages. It's not printing of the Bible. It's not the Word of God. That's not God's ordained way. God's one ordained way of carrying out the Great Commission is by establishing New Testament, fundamental, we believe, independent Baptist churches. That's God's program. It's starting the churches. So you say, well, what's the big deal? The big deal is that most churches aren't doing it. Most churches and most churches get satisfied with having church planters come by or missionary evangelists to be able to come to their church that they can help support to go and never think about any of their own. But I remind us, every single church has a responsibility to reproduce itself, to multiply itself, and to get it going. My guess is, and this is a guess without the benefit of a survey, my guess is that probably 95% of all churches have never started another church from their church. That is on purpose, that some have succumbed to splits in their church, but I mean on purpose. Most churches haven't done. You know, I never understood that. When we started our church in 1970, there was an independent Baptist church right down the street from us. And within 5 years, the church split. And the splitter part, they couldn't get along with anybody, went out and started church. And you know what they called themselves? I'll never forget it. Still there today. Fellowship Baptist Church. Well, Fellowship? You guys can't get along with anyone. And you split away from them, you call yourself Fellowship. But anyhow, our churches had the responsibility of starting churches on purpose. That should be our goal. That should be, ladies and gentlemen, in the DNA of every member of Liberty Baptist Church, that we want to be able to start more churches. We want to be able to see more of our boys called in the ministry, more of our young men called in the ministry, more of our young ladies that yield themselves to be preachers' wives to be able to help these men go out and start more churches. That's the job that we have to be able to carry out and to get the work of the Lord done. So I want us to just kind of look at maybe another better analogy of Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Just a reminder, I should say, to all of us, because I know your pastor does a great job of sharing with you what the world evangelism is all about and the Great Commission. But just to kind of put us in mind once again of what it's all about. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And I remind us that the Great Commission was given to the local New Testament church. God gave it to the church. It wasn't to a group of individuals. It wasn't to the mission boards at all. It was to the church. Every church is to be the center for world evangelism. Don't ever yield it over to any other group. mission board or otherwise. That's not their responsibility. It's our responsibility as a local church to evangelize the world. And may I suggest to you men that are going out to other countries like Belize. I've been in Belize before. I was in Belize one time with my wife. And we were in one village. They had, the missionary said they had about 75, 80 families in the village. And none of the children knew who their dads were in that village. And there was only one couple, a newlywed couple, that was even married in the village. And the missionary is the one that married them. They had been dating for 53 years, he said. They had five children, 14 grandchildren, thought it was time to get married. I think anybody with grandkids should get married. But anyhow, it's every church. I don't care a first world country like the United States of America or a third world country like Malawi or Moldova or Belize. Makes no difference. Every church has the responsibility of carrying out the Great Commission of telling other people about Jesus Christ by virtue of starting churches. Now, let me remind us of something. We can go out and tell someone about the Lord, and that's a blessing. And that's what we're going to be doing, I understand, every day this week. That's what all the interns are doing in here. They go out knocking on doors to tell people about Christ. That's our responsibility. That's every believer's responsibility to be a soul winner, a witness for Jesus Christ. Everyone. It's not a calling on your life. It's a matter of obedience to Almighty God to do what He wants me to do. I have that responsibility. But God's program is not just one-on-one. If I can send a missionary evangelist to go out and plant a church, then we've gone into multiplication. That's a lot faster than addition. So if we can get more churches started, then we can reach more people for Jesus Christ as well. That's one reason why your pastor has such a burden for Vegas, is because more churches mean more people will get saved. More missionaries will be able to go out someday for world evangelism. But we have that job to be able to do and keep out. Now, notice, if you would, in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Notice what he says there when God says, "But ye shall receive power." Now, I remind us here that if you back up a little bit, just back up one verse with me for a moment in verse 7. The Bible said in verse 7, "And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power." He is saying, the disciples there were saying, "Lord, when in the world are you going to set up your kingdom? I mean, when are you going to usher it in where we can get busy now and set up our little thrones that we can be behind you? When are you going to set up your power and your reign and get done what you really want to do, what the Old Testament prophets spoke about as well? When are you going to get this done?" And he said, "Listen, I'll tell you, it's not for you guys to know that." He said, "But I tell you what you ought to know. You're not going to know when I'm going to set up my kingdom," Jesus said. "You're not going to know anything about that kingdom time that he's going to be setting it up. But you will receive power. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And here's what's going to be. You're going to be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part." He said, you're going to get it done. And it reminds us that the local church gets all of its authority from the Lord. Remember in the Bible, back when he said in Matthew chapter 8, 28, in verse 18, where the Lord was talking about when he said, "All power or all authority is given unto me, both in heaven and in earth." He said, all authority, all power is given to me, speaking about the authority that was there for life. So it's all in Jesus Christ. Everything in the Lord Jesus Christ and the local church, which is why God set up the local church, has that responsibility of carrying out the Great Commission and planting more churches while there is yet time. We say, well, but some people think in their mind the church really isn't getting the job done, and so therefore we need all the other parachurch organizations out there. By the way, parachurch organizations are working sometimes as leeches upon our churches, doing everything they can to sap our churches of being able to have the funds it takes to send men out with their families to start more churches for Jesus Christ. There are a lot of neat little things out there to be involved in. Buildings to build and people to care about and do things for. But those are things our churches do. Our local church. Every local church can do whatever it wants to do. but you pay for it. But what we ought to do, and that's true for the mission field as well, gentlemen, but what we ought to keep in mind is the Great Commission was given to every church, whether, again, a first world country or third world country. I've had people say to me, I've had missionary evangelists say to me, well, bless God, we need to come back to the States and get money to be able to help us out. And I think, why? Don't you serve the same God we do? And absolutely. And it's just a matter of deciding, well, how big is your God? Can your God supply your needs, or do you have to go to America to get your needs supplied? And I think every church has a responsibility. And keep in mind, I remind all of us again, as we involve ourselves in world evangelism, when these men go to their country, third world countries, most of them, when they go to their countries, they and their poor, poor third world country have the exact same responsibility of evangelizing the world that Liberty Baptist Church does. There's no difference. But again, a lot of missionary evangelists have the wrong philosophy about missions. They have the idea, I want to go to my field and I just want to plant churches all around my city and all in my country. Well, if we pastors in America had that philosophy, you would never go to the mission field. Right? Could it be no money? Because we'd be concerned about America. Every church has the responsibility of Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and uttermost. All of us do. We all have it. Poor or filthy rich. We all have that responsibility to carry it out. Notice, he said you'll have the power that is there. That's God's anointing. That's the great need in our day to day for all of us as Christian people. Because if God's work gets done, it will be done through his power alone. Or it'll simply be your work getting done. The people, everyone, he said, is to be a witness. Ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witness unto me. It's interesting to me, anyhow. I was looking at this verse one time in the language in which it was written, Greek. And my wife and I, this morning at 5 o'clock this morning, when we were in Lakeland, Florida, driving to Tampa, Florida, to catch a plane to come to Las Vegas today. But the guy that drove us in Lakeland to Tampa this morning was Greek Orthodox. And so I had an opportunity of talking to him, witnessing to him a little bit about salvation and sharing with him some things. But interesting to me, anyhow, that this one verse, witnesses, if I were to say the word witnesses to you in the Greek language in which it was written, here's what the Greek word sounds like. Martyr. Martyr. From which we get our English word. Martyr. That's the Greek word that's translated witnesses. In other words, some of us today, if we come up and you knock on the door, what do you want? I'll never do it again. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. You know, but I mean, martyrs? Ye shall be martyrs unto me. That's what God said. In other words, I don't know if he meant to have to give you life, but I mean, it ought to be that we're just strong, that we're going forward for God, that we're being witnesses for Jesus Christ, that we're sharing the gospel, and we don't stop at any little circumstance that comes up. The philosophy, notice if you word the word both, where it says, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost. That is, at the same time, we have that responsibility of carrying out that gospel. Both, all the time. The second you start a church, both, immediately, you start supporting missionary evangelists to get more churches planted worldwide. By the way, we talk about church planting in America, and it's just wonderful. Praise the Lord for every church that gets started. But I remind us of something. What we do in America is no different than what's to be done overseas. Church planting. That's what missionary evangelists do. They plant churches, start churches. The difference is we kind of stay with our church. They work themselves out of a job and turn over to a national and go into some and start another church there. But both. So we have that responsibility of reaching everyone that we can with the gospel. The Bible says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even the end of the earth. So he says, now you're to be going. We have to do it as we're going. We're to be discipling all nations. And the word nations, again, is the word ethnos, which is where we get our word ethnic from. So he said, all ethnic groups, not just the countries, every ethnic group, thousands of them, need to be evangelized by virtue of churches being planted and reaching those people for Jesus Christ. So that's our job, to reach them for the Lord and see them get saved. Not just get saved. Hey, that's not it. I started out as a street preacher. I know what street preaching is all about. It's not just street preaching. Getting people saved, thank God, that's the most important thing. But my responsibility as a Christian doesn't stop with someone getting saved. I have a responsibility then to get them baptized and then that's bringing them into the local church, like here at Liberty, and then teaching and training them, discipling them, mentoring them until they can get maybe called of God or seeing what the Lord wants to do for them. Get them out there knocking on doors as well and reaching more people for Jesus Christ. I remember reading about this woman that was had a little boy. He was a real zealous little kid, and she was standing one time at the window of the kitchen. And she was looking through the window, and she saw her little Johnny out in the backyard along the picket fence, and he had a bucket of water, and he had three little kittens. And he had the three kittens that were just kind of sitting there on the fence, and little Johnny was preaching away at those kittens, trying to get them converted, I guess. But he was preaching away at those three little kittens, and she went on back of the house and was vacuuming and doing something and then stopped it, turned it off, and all of a sudden she heard this loud hissing and meowing and just could picture these cats scratching. And she goes running back to the window and she saw Johnny was baptizing the kittens in the tub of water. And she said, "Johnny, Johnny, what are you doing? Don't baptize those kittens. They don't like water." "Well, they should have thought about that before they joined my church." That's what he said. Hey, I'm just saying, we have the responsibility. Get them saved, get them wet, and get them busy for God, serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And just may be that God will call one of those men, boys, into the ministry to be able to see. But and then the program we have, that's, again, the Jerusalem, Judea, the Samaria, and that's everyone. Those that we think we could reach and those that we think we can. I mean, the Jerusalem, that's our area. Judea, outlying area, the Samaria. I've always looked at the Samaritans as kind of being the unwanted people by most churches and most people. The Samaritans, as you know, not very far town from Jerusalem, but they were kind of, we would use the derogatory remark, we would call them kind of like half-breeds today. They weren't Jews. And they weren't Gentiles, but they were the product of both. And the Jews didn't like them, and the Gentiles didn't like the Samaritans, because they weren't any, either one of them. And they would actually walk around the city when they had to go in that direction to get away. They didn't, but I've often thought, that's sometimes the way it is in America. We have a responsibility of reaching a world for Jesus Christ, and yet sometimes our door-to-door visitations become like buffets as we go along. You know, we're out there and we knock on doors and we say, "Hello, we're from the St. Jehoshaphat Baptist Church and we're out visiting your neighborhood and wanted to give you a personal invitation to come and join with us. Give them a tract, talk to them about the Lord." Knock on another door. "Hi, we're from St. Jehoshaphat Baptist Church in town and we'd just like to give you a personal invitation to come and visit with us sometime and enjoy the service. Have you ever been saved?" Next one you go, "Oh, hi there. We're from one of the churches in town, and we just wanted you to know God loves you. Go to church this Sunday. Have a good day." They're the wrong color. They didn't speak our language. They didn't look like us. Nice looking. They didn't act like us. I mean, they're not like us. Hey, have you ever stopped to think who us are? I know that ain't good English, but it's sure good doctrine. Do you know what? You know who we really are? Dirty, rotten, low-down bums that deserve the pits of hell. But by the mercy and grace of Almighty God, God reached down, lifted us up out of the miry clay, set our feet on a rock because of the blood of Jesus Christ and His resurrection. I'm alive today. I've been blood-bought. That's who I am. Redeemed. That's who we are. Hey, everyone needs the gospel of Jesus Christ. Everyone. I've always thought multi-ethnicity is a good thing in a church. It's a good thing. And reaching everyone, like you all are doing here, that's a good thing. And you keep it up to reach everyone you can with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We had one of the men in our church was out on a bus route and left some tracks out. And we had a Korean family that came to our church as a result of it. The pastor, by the way, asked me to tell you a couple of our guys that got called to ministry and things, share a few things with you. And this, it was a Korean family. And so they came to our church and he said, when he got the track, he looked at it and he thought, Fairfax Baptist Temple. He said, I knew what a temple was in Korea, but I didn't know what it was Baptist temples was like. So I thought I'd come and find out myself. In the dictionary, by the way, there's synonyms, temple and church. But anyhow, so he wanted to come. And so he came into our church. This is what he's telling me later. He said, I looked there on the wall. We had some back in those styrofoam letter days, or if you remember that. We had the styrofoam up there. Those are nice wood, but we had styrofoam in it. And we had Jeremiah 33:3 up on the wall, you know. So he came in, and when he sat down with his family, he said, he had one daughter. And he said, well, at least they believe the Old Testament. There's Jeremiah 33:3 up there. And then he said, you know, if you remember or not, but he said, that morning you preached from the New Testament. So he said, I thought, sitting there thinking, well, at least they believe the whole Bible here. I don't know what else they believe or don't believe, but so far so good. Anyhow, I preached. The man, according to his testimony, got saved within a few weeks of there. He came back in my office and we were talking and he was sharing with me how he thought that as he came over here, and I'm going to make a long story real short, but he came over to America to be able to study English and politics so he could go back to Korea as a politician. Well, God got hold of him, saved his soul, and called him in the ministry, went off to Bible college. And we sent him to Anaheim, California, and he started Calvary Baptist Church. It is a total Korean church. I go there about once a year, and I come back, and my wife puts me in my own bedroom for 3 days until all the kimchi and all the garlic comes out of me, you know. But I mean, I get all that back out, and it's all through my pores, you know, and gets me used to, so I'm approachable again. So, but anyhow, I think, hey, what a nice thing to be able to reach someone. There's a Korean man that said, you know what? That's what my people need more than they need my politic and that's there. The gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what we're concerned about doing, reaching everyone that we can with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I think about how a dear lady came in on one of our buses that we had years ago and enjoyed it so much that she invited her son and daughter-in-law and children to be able to come. They came to our church as a result of that. Sat there on Easter Sunday. Not a whole lot happened. They went home. A man that I've been working with and talking with, training about how to be a soul winner, he didn't want anything to do with it, but he said he just went with me. I didn't show up one night. He went out one night. He called, went over. As a result of it, led Dr. Baldwin to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He got saved on a Thursday night. Came and got baptized that Sunday, and I'll never forget, walked in my office Tuesday or Wednesday, said to me, Pastor Calvary, he said, now that I'm a Christian, how do I grow as a Christian? And I said to him, I said, well, you want the normal way of Christianity, just kind of slow and slovenly, or do you want the fast way? He said, no. He said, I've been 30 years or so of my life without Christ. I want to get busy serving him. I said, well, you have to memorize scripture if you do that. He said, well, how do I do it? So I showed him how to do it, gave him a list of 100 Bible verses every Christian should memorize that I'd put together. And the first 100 days he got saved, he memorized 100 Bible verses. Do you wonder why they started, was it 27 churches or so now, out of Crossroads Baptist Church? 26 black, one white guy slipped in there somehow, but the others were black churches they got started out of. But I think, hey, I'm telling you, God's looking for some people to simply say, hey, here I am, Lord, use me. You know, but I want to say something. Before Isaiah could come back and say, here am I, send me, it was a time when he had to fall prostrate on the ground, and as he did, he came out and he saw God, and he said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And the Bible said the seraphims were there crying out, and Isaiah was watching them, and they cried out as they said, holy, he said, oh Lord, and with twain the six wings, they had two, they covered their feet, and two, the Bible said, they covered their eyes, and with two, they did fly and cried out, holy, 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 Isaiah dropped to the ground and said, woe is me, for I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen a king, the Lord of hosts. And then the angel symbolically took the coal from the altar and came over with the tongs and touched Isaiah's lips. And then he heard God say, who shall we send? Who will go for us? And Isaiah, I can see him stepping right up there. I will, Lord. I'll be glad to go now that I'm right with you. Hey, what's holding you back from going? Why don't you go out and get involved in the ministry and starting churches and seeing something go forward for God? We had one of our guys that was kind of rebellious in our church and went off to Bob Jones University, got kicked out of there twice, just wasn't doing so well. Finally kind of came back and finally got his act together and just really got turned around as well. And about 4 or 5 years ago, we sent him out and started a church and doing a fantastic job in Georgetown, Kentucky. Brand new church that got started out there. An exciting opportunity. Had a military guy in our church. Several that got called in ministry. Lynn Floth, you talked about one time. Then he went back in the military. But another guy with him, Dennis Goodman. I don't know if you ever knew the Goodmans or not. But good friends of the Floth. This one fella came. He was a sergeant major, that's an E-9, that's as high as you can go as an enlisted man in the military. And he got called into ministry, went off and finishing up his last tour. He came back to our church, served an internship for a year, and went about 25, 30 miles or so from our church and started a brand new church. And we had about 12 families to go with him to start. I've always said of all the guys that have gone out and started churches from our church, he's the only fellow that didn't have a clue how to start a church because we gave him one, basically. But he got a church started, did a fantastic job with it, still is. Started about 5 years ago. But a wonderful thing, wonderful opportunity in being able to see the Lord work. All of us, I'm simply saying, you don't know. But every person here needs to be thinking, Lord, would you have me to go? Look with me very quickly in Acts chapter 8 for just a moment. In Acts chapter 8. In Acts chapter 8, where... Whereas we know the Lord was told the people, I want you to go out and tell the whole world about Jesus Christ and plant churches everywhere. But they never did they? They stayed there in Jerusalem instead of going. And so God kind of put a fire under them and got them out. They resisted. They didn't obey. So the Lord lit a fire. And Acts chapter 8 and verse 1, the Bible said, and Saul, that was later Paul, was consenting unto his death. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. They were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to the burial, made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Now, I want you to follow with me. There's one little thought very quickly here. They went forth preaching the word. Everybody but the apostles, except the God-called men. Everyone else was out doing it now for the Lord. And then the Bible said after they were involved in going out and preaching, and if you notice in verse 12, the Bible said, but when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then if you look down in verse 25, it said, and they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. In verse 30, the Bible says, and Philip ran thither, heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Verse 40, the Bible said, and Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in the cities till he came to Caesarea. In chapter 9 and verse 20, the Bible says, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. And then if you notice as well in verse 27, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, Paul, and declared unto him how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. and he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem. He spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him, the Bible says. Now, I want you to notice something. Here, the Apostle Paul was saved and immediately got involved with the others there as well, preaching the word over and over and over. I just read a half a dozen times where they preached the word. They preached the word. They were preaching the word of God and sharing there. Nothing about churches, by the way. They were just preaching the word, like street preachers, you would think. But they were preaching. You say, well, I thought it was supposed to be starting churches. I want you to notice something now with me. And by the way, you don't have to have a Bible college education to be able to preach the word of God. You just have to have a love for God. You have to have a care and a burden for the Lord that says, Lord, I'll do what you want me to do. I'll go where you want me to go. Lord, I'll give out a tract for Liberty Baptist. I'll share with my people at work and people at school and my neighbors and people in the ball field. And Lord, I'll share it with them. Now, notice one thing, if you would. And if down in verse 30, it says of chapter 9, it said, which when the brethren knew and brought him down to Caesarea, that is Paul, and they sent him forth to Tarsus, notice, then had the, notice, and I've got it circled, they had the churches. There's only one church mentioned in the Bible up to that point. That was the church at Jerusalem. That was the only one. They weren't doing the work. So God lit a fire into them by way of persecution, sent them out. They went everywhere preaching the word of God, except the apostles. And then they went, apostles came. They got busy. They started preaching. And the people were preaching. But as a result of all of it, he talked about the churches that rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified. And walking in the fear of the Lord and in comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. The churches got involved. The preaching resulted in churches being started. And that's exactly what world evangelism is all about. Our goal is more churches because we can work much more quickly that way if we can reach more people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The church was then started at Antioch, the church at Lystra, the church at Derbe, Iconium. Acts and Silas started the church at Philippi, Acts chapter 16, the book of Acts chapter 17, Thessalonica church. I mean, churches were started. That's God. That's what world evangelism is. Now, I ask you tonight, is God maybe burdening your heart to be able to go? All of you as men, all of you boys need to stop and think, Lord, would you have me to go? Some country, some city, Vegas maybe, someplace. To go and plant a church. You say, oh, no, not me. That's not true. It would never happen in my life. That's not what God wants me to do. Have you ever come to the place, men and boys, where you said, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do? I don't mean just called into full-time Christian service. I'm not talking about that. Too many people hide under that one. I'm talking about God's called me to be a pastor. God's called me to be a missionary evangelist, to go plant churches. The calling of God. It's like Paul said, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. Charles Spurgeon, he defined it this way. He said in one little change of a word. He said, it's an overwhelming desire for the work of the ministry. That's what the call is. I've never figured it out. I've heard some preachers say, I used to say it all the time. I don't hear as much anymore. Well, bless God, if you can do anything else, stay out of the ministry. And I thought, who was the idiot that came up with that thought? I mean, I can do a lot of other. I just mowed the lawn the other day. In fact, yesterday I mowed the lawn before I came here. I know how to mow lawn. I could start a lawn mowing service if I wanted to. If you can do it. No, I'm saying for all of us, we need to be thinking. All men, all boys need to come to the place in their life where you simply say, dear God, I want to serve you with my whole heart. And yes, Lord, I'm going to even consider the call of God into the ministry. I'm going to think about it. It's not just for these other guys that come to that mission conference, but maybe it's me. Maybe it's my son that I have. Moms and dads, to train your children to come up and start thinking about not the best soccer player or the baseball player or the football player. My soul, let the heathens do that. Most of them are anyhow. I'm talking about getting some men and boys and say, yeah, these are our heroes. That's the guy I want to be like. I want to be like one of those church planters. I want to give myself. Say, well, but my boys are too young. Do you know how old Jeremiah was when he got called? The Bible said from his mother's womb. That's pretty young. That's younger than most of y'all. Hey, Moses. Do you know how old Moses was before he really lifted a finger for God? 80 years old. With the exception of your pastor, most of us haven't gotten there yet. 80. But I'm saying, hey, I mean, all of us need to be thinking. Say, well, but I just don't know. The Apostle Paul was 40 years old when he got called and went into the ministry. I mean, all of us need to be thinking, Lord, would you have me, all of you men and boys, and I ask you, can you take this holy book and show me one Bible verse as to why you are not going as the next church planter from Liberty Baptist Church? You say, no, you got that reversed, preacher. No, there are plenty of verses about why you should go. I mean, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them with Acts 1:8, ye shall receive power if the Holy Ghost come upon you. Hey, the Lord Jesus Christ went forth to seek and save that which was lost. I'm supposed to be like Jesus. Can you give me one Bible verse why you're not going? And if you can, I'm saying you better be thinking about this seriously. Every man, every boy in here tonight, Lord, would you have me? Here am I, Lord. I'll go. World evangelism, that's what this mission conference is all about. Starting churches is the means that God has set up in the Holy Bible to get world evangelism accomplished. And it's up to us as a church to think through, Lord, what's my part? Yes, my financial commitment on the Lord's Day. Yes, I understand that. But I'm talking about your life, which God would much rather have than just my money. If he gets our hearts, he has our money. If he gets our money, he still may not have our heart. He wants our heart. And I say, are you willing to put it all on the altar? I've had guys come up to me my last years in the ministry and the pastor. They come to me and say, Pastor, how do you know you're called in the ministry? I used to discuss it with them and go through the Bible verses and share them with them and thank God they count me faithful, putting me in the ministry. I used to go through all that. I stopped doing that years ago, and I just simply say, look, John, you're called. Now, come on forward Sunday and let everybody know you've been called. I say to them, why do you think you're the only man in our whole church that's in my office asking me that question? It's because that's how God leads you. That's the calling. That's it. That's why are you thinking about it? No one else is. That's the calling. And maybe God wants you to go in the ministry. You ought to come and say, yes, Lord, I'm not going to resist. I'm going to just confirm it. I'm going to go out as a pastor. I want to start a church in America somewhere, or I want to go overseas somewhere as a missionary evangelist. I want to plant churches, more churches, to get more people saved before Jesus comes back. Father in heaven, I thank you, Lord, for our time together tonight. And thank you, dear Lord, for the Holy Scriptures that we have to guide us and govern us and lead us, Lord. And I pray, dear Father, that you'll help every single one of us tonight to think through what you want from our hearts and lives. Lord, we know the responsibility of our churches to evangelize the world. And Father, we know, too, that we're not going to be able to hear from thee unless we truly have our hearts on the altar tonight and give it all over to you. And Father, I pray you'll just speak to our hearts this evening. Help us, I pray, to yield our all to thee. And then I pray, dear Lord, for some men and boys in here tonight that they might truly come to thee and say, yes, Lord, I'll go. Please, Lord, speak to our hearts. Wonder if we can quietly stand to our feet. And I'm going to ask, as the invitation is being played, maybe tonight God wants you. And our heads are still bowed and no one looking around. Let me ask a question right now, if I could. I wonder how many of you, with our heads bowed and eyes closed, how many of you men and boys, just the pastor and I looking, how many of you men and boys, you know in your life, God's been dealing with you perhaps about the ministry, and you're thinking, you know, it just may be that that's the way it seems like God is leading in my life, and I want to yield my all to Him. I believe God's calling me into the ministry. You haven't let that be known, but you'd say, I believe God's calling me to be a pastor specifically or a missionary evangelist. Maybe not today, but you know that's what God's been speaking to your heart about. Anyone like that? Would you slip up your hand, hold it up for just a moment? bless you and you. Someone else, hold it up. Just say, I believe God may be speaking to my heart, dealing with me. Think it through. Father, do work in our hearts. Do help us. Give our all to Thee for missions, for evangelizing this world while there's yet time. I pray in Jesus' name. While the